Sometimes mirrors are the worst. Like, have you ever been at a business meeting or at a gathering with a bunch of people and you go into the bathroom and then you look in the mirror and then you notice something that you wish you saw earlier? Or maybe you wish you hadn't seen it at all. That now you're starting to think about how many people saw the thing on your face or the stain on your shirt or the way that your hair or your makeup is. Whatever it is, there's this thing in reality that is now you notice that's wrong with you. See, it's important to see reality the way it actually is. And the sooner we see these things, often the better. But sometimes we wish we hadn't noticed at all. There's mirrors in other places in life, too, that sometimes it's often easier not to look at. Like maybe a doctor visit is a mirror to see what we're actually like on the inside or how our physical being is. And it's hard to actually hear that news. Another mirror, maybe a work evaluation. And you don't really want to hear how you've been doing because it's hard to hear the reality of what other people see you and how you really are as you interact with other people. Maybe a mirror is actually to look at your finances and how you are actually prioritizing things by how you are spending your money and where all your money is going to. So it's easier not to look into that mirror. Or maybe there's some relationships that could require a mirror to look at yourself. You may know something's wrong in a relationship, but you'd never bring it up with the other person because you know that it might reveal some things that you don't want to see. Ignorance is bliss, and sometimes that can be hard for myself. I know during the pandemic, one of the harder things, especially at the beginning, was having to watch myself on video week after week to see all of the little things that I did wrong that were so noticeable to me and to me to wonder how many other people are noticing the same things. Sometimes that the mirror image of ourselves shows reality, and there's this discomfort that comes from it. And we don't like things that are uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable, and that's really where our society and where our personal desires drive us. But there's some dangers in comfort. Sam Chan, he says that comfort is overrated. It doesn't lead to happiness. It makes us lazy and forgetful. It often leads us to self-absorption, boredom, and discontent. Today, we're going to maybe do something a little bit uncomfortable and actually look in the mirror at ourselves. This may be hard, but as we see our current reality, as we look at who we truly are, how we're living, we're actually going to be able to move on to where more of where God has us, where God wants us to be. And specifically, we're going to look at stewardship. To do that, we're going to read from 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. It says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Peter is talking about stewardship in this passage, and stewardship is something that we are entrusted with by somebody else who's the actual owner. For instance, somebody could be stewarded a farm, and that's a manager of a farm. Now, they don't own the farm. The owner has entrusted the farm to this person and to sow crops and to reap and to do what they would do with the farm. Or someone can be stewarded finances, like a financial advisor, or someone can be given money to say, okay, now I want you to use the money the way that I would use the money. When we talk about stewardship, it reminds me of the steward of Gondor from Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Now, the steward of Gondor was Lord Denethor in this, and they were not truly the king because the kings were not actually in the city at this time. Now, this is an oversimplification, but the steward, what they were supposed to do was they were supposed to lead instead of the king, and they're supposed to lead as the king led. But if you watch the movies or read the books, you see that this isn't actually happening the way that it should be, especially with Denethor, who time and again, he does selfish things, he does wicked things, and he tries to hold on to power and control power, even though the true king is coming back who has the rightful heir of the throne, who's the rightful leader, but time and time again, he's not leading. He's not stewarding what he should be doing. He's not doing it the way that Aragorn would be doing these things. The same is true for us, actually. If we read Genesis 1, we see how God created the entire universe, and then he created humans, and then he stewarded us, the world. Because he says that, I have given you to rule and reign in the world. He's given us an opportunity to interact and impact how the world operates, and he's given us that stewardship over the world. So as we look at Genesis and we look at what 1 Peter talks about, our big idea today is that we are responsible to steward what God gives us. We are responsible to steward what God gives us. That's with whatever we have and however much we have. And that's what Peter talks about. But Jesus also says the same thing in Luke 12, 48. And he says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We've all received gifts. We've all received different things. But time and time again, we are called to use those the way that God has given them to us. I mean, we've all been given everything from God. If you're a follower of Jesus, you believe that God created everything in the world. So everything is already his. But also, we believe that through Jesus Christ, he's given us life and life eternal. And as we have chosen to accept his sacrifice for us, we've also chosen him to be our Savior and Lord. That we have given everything in a word back to him so that we are offering it to him. So we are called to steward everything, whatever that is. In 1 Peter, he names two things which are really broad categories, and that's in the way that you serve and all the acts that you do, all your actions, and also your words. So whether it's your actions or your words, you're supposed to do it as if you were a representative of God. You're stewarding those opportunities for God. But we all have different skills and talents and things that we have that can be used as a stewardship for God. For some of us, that might be things like compassion and kindness and generosity and faith and courage, whatever those are. We are to steward those. We can also steward our skills, whether that's being able to fix a car or cook a delicious meal or sew or whatever it is. We can do those things as an act for God as he has given us those opportunities. But it includes all of our lives because God has given us all of our lives. So another thing we need to steward is our time. How are you stewarding your time? Are you fretting a lot of it away like it's really easy to do nowadays? Or are you using it how God would invite you to do it? Are you consuming endless amounts of content, but it's not usually the best content? There's a whole lot of great Christian content, whether it's sermons or books or videos or podcasts that we can fill our time with, which might be a more productive way to use our time than the way that we currently are using our time. Another thing that we can steward is our opportunities. Lots of the opportunities are the people around us, the opportunities to care and love our family, those at our workplace, our neighbors and our friends. Or maybe the opportunity is your job itself or the way that you're interacting with people. It's you can use that and steward that. And finally, one way to steward is our resources. Whether that's the money we have, because we are the wealthiest generation in history, but we can. And as Luke talks about, we are called to, as we are given much, we are responsible for much. Are we using our money as a stewardship to God or for something else? But also our resources, whether it's the things we own or the house that we have or our vacation house, whatever it is, are you using those as a stewardship? Because it's all owed to God. God has given it to us and entrusted it to us. How are you using it? And as you look in a mirror and you wonder, okay, how am I supposed to use it? Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. The whole chapter in 1 Peter is actually about loving others and doing things for other people. So our stewardship, the way that God has given us all of what we have and all of what we will have in the future, we're supposed to use that for others, but not for ourselves. Too often, it's really easy to be selfish with these things. It's easy to be selfish with our talents and our gifts. Maybe that's the way that we use our compassion. And if we're compassionate, it's really easy to use that to watch maybe a drama series on TV. And you can get invested in the characters, but at the end of the show, there's a nice little bow tied and you can feel good or detach yourself and use your gift to watch this, but not actually invest in real people. Or maybe you have a skill to fix cars and you could use that for other people. Or we can use our skills to push ourselves up, to climb the corporate ladder, or just to show off to other people. Or we could use our skills to help others in different ways. We can also use our opportunities in the way that we care and love others and listen to others. We can also use our resources, whether that's our house and using it as a place for people to congregate and to love people, or whether it's our possessions, rather than having a firm grip and being scared to share things with others because they might break it, but to be willing and seeing it as it's not mine, but God has offered it to me so that I can steward it to serve others. But also, that's our money. It's really easy to spend our money on so many different things nowadays. It's one of the reasons that me and my wife don't have Amazon Prime is because it's just a little bit too easy for us to buy things. And we're not sure we have the strong willpower needed to not buy too much when we have Amazon. We already struggle with that enough without it. So using our money actually to serve others before serving ourselves. Whatever it is, we can use all of what we have, everything that God has given us, to serve others. Because we are called, as followers of Jesus, to be dominated by love, to everything we do, to be for other people. Since God has given us everything, we are responsible to use it to love others. Now, as we look at ourselves, it may be difficult, and it actually can seem like a very sad and joyless life. But if we have the proper attitude, which is not an attitude of doing this out of works or trying to achieve things on our own or doing it from an attitude to get other people to see us and how we're doing things well, but if we're really doing it as we're compelled because we realize God's goodness and love for us, and if we're serving others from that point of view, it's so much more joy than if we're doing things for ourselves. That we can find life as we serve and love others. That doesn't mean that we need to extend ourselves beyond what we can actually do. There's some wisdom involved and some boundaries that need to be in place so that you're not overexerting yourself and actually causing harm to yourself and especially to those in your family as you give to others. But we can look at ourselves and see how are we stewarding everything God has given us. It's really easy to see some flaws in my own life. And maybe you're feeling some discomfort. And again, that's okay. Because sometimes we need to feel a discomfort before we're going to be spurred on to what we need to actually change. We need to look honestly in the mirror and say, okay, I need to change that before we're actually going to do it, because change can be hard. But I also want to remind you that our whole Christian walk is not filled with condemnation, it's filled with God's grace. You are not defined by how you've used things in the past or how you've been stewarding already. You are defined by Jesus' death and his resurrection. Because that's the Christian message, that it's not up to us, it's up to what God has done in us and what God has done through us. Salvation was not anything we could do on our own, it's what he did on the cross, and we accept what he did. But not only salvation up to him, sanctification is also up to him. Sanctification is just a Christian word for being transformed into Christ-likeness, that we live like Christ would. And too often we can put sanctification on ourselves and our own willpower. But it's God in us, and he enables us to do that. As 1 Peter 4 talks about, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. That it's God's words, it's God's strength, it's not our own. We can steward because God provides for us. We can depend on God. We can depend on his strength and what he does in us. And that's where we can find the true transformation and truly stewarding what he has given us. Because I know that mine isn't enough. I can see this often. One instance is when I go and I'm trying to love my kids when I don't have the patience for them. Maybe they're crying or they're angry and I don't want to deal with them. The times that I respond well, often I go into the room and I first pray, God, give me patience because I know mine isn't enough. Or there's mornings I wake up and I don't want to get out of bed. Maybe there's something hard that I have to do that day or I'm just tired. The best days are usually the days that I say, God, I need your strength today because I know mine won't be enough. As you look in the mirror and maybe see some ways that you want to grow and are you're uncomfortable with what you see, maybe that's an invitation for you to submit and surrender to God, saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help in my life. And that's a good thing, because when we're relying on God, it means that you can do more than what you can do on your own. You can speak his words instead of your words. You can work from his strength instead of your strength, whatever it is. As you're stewarding your money or your words or your actions, that it can be filled with God's love. And in an act of faith, relying on him, not relying on yourself, you can live the way that he's called you to and steward what he's called you to steward. This is true for us individually, that we need to look in a mirror to see if we're stewarding everything well, but it's actually something that we did as a church. Especially in 2018, we started a process to actually see if we're stewarding our building well. And through interviews with different people in different ministries and volunteers and staff, we actually found some things that we found that we could be doing better as a church. Let's go and take a look at some of these locations. We're in our lobby. And this is one of the most important parts about our church, especially for first-time guests, because this is their first impression of our church, and they see what we value. But unfortunately, as people enter, it can often be cramped and crowded and loud and really hard to connect or even know where you're supposed to go. Another thing that we want to improve is our bathrooms. Our bathrooms actually don't meet code on the capacity limits of our church, and they also smell. Smell is actually really important to our memories, and we want to actually have a good-smelling church. Our church also is actually having some leaks lately. Just over there, I see a garbage can being used to collect water, and down the hall, there's a fan running to dry out Pastor Holly's office. Our church is also really inaccessible for those with physical limitations. We don't have any elevators or any access ways for people to get to our second floor. So if a child came in a wheelchair, they'd have to be carried up the stairs every single week to actually attend our kids' services. If I was a parent of a child like that, I probably wouldn't come a second time. Or even not just kids, it's people who want to volunteer. Maybe it's somebody who uses a walker or somebody who's been injured for a temporary part of time that want to go upstairs or maybe want to be part of kids' ministry or use the balcony. It's inaccessible to those people. But we want our church to be accessible to everyone for wherever they want to go. We're at the entrance of our kids ministry area, and I want to remind you how you might feel dropping off your kids, especially if you're a first-time guest, dropping off your kids to strangers. You want to feel at ease and relaxed as much as possible. But this is the entranceway to our kids ministry area. As you can see, barely two of me would fit in here, let alone all the families coming and going through this one entrance. Parenting can be a lonely experience for so many people. And we have a church that has many families that can give opportunities to connect with each other. But this entrance tells people to keep moving along and get out of the way and limits interactions with other people. Also, our kids' ministry, for all of the kids, we have one toilet. And you know how good kids are at going at the proper time with lots to spare. If there's another child using that toilet, there could be an unfortunate accident that leads to some embarrassment to kids that we don't want linked to our church. Also, our HVAC system in our kids' ministry is old and inefficient. Some rooms are too warm, and some rooms kids have to wear coats in at cold days of the year. So we want to show kids that they are valued by the way that just the temperature is in our rooms. Also, our kids' ministry has too many access points for people, and we mitigate that different ways, but we want to really make sure that our kids are as safe as possible by only allowing people into our kids' ministry who are supposed to be with our kids. Also, our youth room, which is just over there, was deemed unable for that amount of people to be in it. So our youth don't have a home right now. And because they don't have a home, unfortunately, it communicates that we don't value them. And in their own words, they feel like they're couch surfing in their own church. Now, we do value our youth, but unfortunately, this building doesn't actually show that to them. We want to show that we value kids, parents, and youth, and people of all ages with our building and with our ministries. Now, some of these things may not actually be that important to you or to your spiritual growth. It may not help you grow in one way or another, and you may not really even notice if those things all changed and were better by a flick of a finger. But they might change somebody else. They might help transform the child who comes in with a disability and the way that he's felt welcome, or the person who's searching for answers in life and doesn't know where to turn and his chaos outside his life, but finds some peace and some assurance in being able to experience God here. That we are called to serve others, not just as we steward in our personal lives, but also with our building. That we are called to love others with everything, and that includes our building at Ross Road, using to serve others, not a building that's dedicated to ourselves to look good or to be very fancy, to help us grow closer to Jesus, but also to help others grow closer to Jesus so that God may be glorified. And that's where Peter finishes in 1 Peter 4:11. He says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We are called to steward everything to glorify God. That's both as individuals and as a community of believers who want to help others to find and follow him. Because all glory belongs to him. All praise belongs to him. But it can be hard to take a look. It can be hard to see all the different things that are not quite right in our church or in our personal lives. But we want a discomfort so that because change requires a desperation that's greater than our fears. Because changing causes some fears and maybe the uncertainty of the future or what a building project could look like may cause some fears, but we want to see that there is some things that are wrong right now that we can make better. Let the discomfort push us into what is next. And what's next is actually really exciting. Next week, we're actually going to talk about what we see happening in the future and even doing a virtual walkthrough through the building project and the plans that we have next. But as we look at right now, I want us to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And personally, I'm not uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with the way things are with our church. And I want to be part of something better. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to actually invite you to play a part in that and to pledge, to commit to be a financial partner in this. Now, a pledge is not a contract where you have to do it, but it's a commitment for you to say, I want to be a part of this, and I'm going to commit financially to help this happen, to extend our impact through changing what is to move into the future. Some of you have already pledged, and we thank you for that. Maybe in the next few weeks, it's an opportunity for you to pray and to think, okay, is this still what I believe God is calling me to pledge? Or maybe he wants you to extend your pledge for an extra couple of years or do something different, but to invite you to also pray about it. Maybe some of you are feeling apathetic about your Christian faith. And actually, what Sam Chand, what the quote that I said from him earlier, might define a little bit too much of your Christian walk, where he says that comfort can cause self-absorption, boredom, and discontent. You're comfortable in your Christian walk, and it's caused you to be bored and discontent. So an act of discomfort is what you may need. Maybe that's something personally, a way that you can steward, or maybe that's actually to take a step of faith in how much you think you can actually be a part of the Extending Our Impact building campaign and pledging maybe a little bit more than what's comfortable for you. We are in a building that so many people have sacrificed over the last 75 years, and we have been reaping the spiritual benefits of what they have done for our church. I want to invite you to be a part of the next 30 years of ministry at our church, and so that the people can, more and more people can come and we can extend our impact to the community and to the world so that more people can find and follow Jesus. Because together we can steward what God has given us to glorify him and to extend our impact. Let's pray. God, I first of all thank you for your grace. And as we look at ourselves, and I look at myself, I can see some patterns of selfish sinfulness. God, give me the strength I need. Give me the words I need. Give me the patience I need, because I can't do it on my own. God, I pray that your grace would be present to those who are feeling the discomfort of seeing maybe some ways that they haven't been stewarding their lives what they have. God, I also pray for our church and our building to be a place that isn't just making ends meet and kind of patching holes, but it'd be a place where more and more people can experience your goodness in your life. And I pray that we as a church would be able to gather and partner together to be part of something that is so much bigger than any one individual can do. We thank you for the future that you have for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.